Are we live? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is June 15th, 2020 at 6 o'clock, and this is the regular town council meeting for the town of Curie Beach. We'll have the invocation from Councilman Allen.
Please join me as we go to the Lord. God, we ask for your guidance and direction as we come together to meet today. Grant us the strength to manage the challenges ahead and the wisdom to identify these as opportunities as we strive to serve the residents of Curie Beach. As we make decisions on their behalf, grant us the gift of an open mind, the willingness to learn, and the humility to accept the ideas of others. Please help us to recognize diversity as a blessing and let unity be our strength. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First on the agenda is the consent agenda items. Do we have any changes to the consent agenda items?
Mr. Mayor, can I make a motion we excuse the attorney for a medical issue before we proceed?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, David.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any changes to the consent agenda items?
Make a motion to accept them as presented.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We move on to the adoption of the regular agenda. Any changes to the regular agenda as published?
Make a motion we adopt the agenda as published.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the agenda stands. Do we have any presentations? No presentations today, so we move right into committee business. Community Center.
Mayor, this is Debbie Elliott. Is this the time in the agenda where
yes,
about the marketing budget?
Yes, it is, Debbie. I'll call the marketing committee in shortly.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you. The first item is the Community Center Committee. They haven't met. Okay. The next item is the Marketing Committee. So, Debbie?
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hopefully, you each have a copy of the Curie Beach budget allocation for FY 2020-2021.
We do. It's up on. Yes, it's up on the monitor.
Okay.
And for anyone listening, it's on the agenda packet on the town website under committee business.
Okay. So I wanted to go over this briefly and, of course, answer any questions that you have. The budget is cut pretty dramatically from years prior due to COVID-19 and the impact on the ROP. For instance, the advertising and media buy is cut by about 35% for Curie Beach. And everything that I'm talking about in terms of reductions is specifically for Curie Beach. The good news is that we are doing a unified marketing campaign for this year because of COVID and because of the impact on ROT. And the consensus was that we would gain much more by marketing cooperatively with Carolina Beach, Franklin Beach, and Wilmington rather than individually. The proposed budget here under the unified media campaign portion, the advertising media services, that is almost all digital. There is a little bit of print advertising that you see there to take place in the spring and southern linen, garden gum, and so forth. That $75,400 total is a reduction of 35%. And then going down to the public relations and social media portion, the couple of things I want to say about this. Because we are cutting, you know, back pretty dramatically with advertising and so forth, the PR and social media really becomes even more important to drive traffic to the website and to, you know, prompt inquiries and so forth. And also, it's important to keep in mind that this part of the budget is not a unified campaign. So what we're doing for PR and social media is specifically for Curie Beach. So the PR and content development portion of the budget had been $25,200, and we reduced that to the current $14,345 as part of our effort to create that 10% holdback. And I'm going to advocate as strongly as I can that we put those funds back for several reasons. One is that Curie Beach, because we're so small, we disproportionately, you know, we have less funds for PR and social media than the other beach locations. And my concern is that we don't maintain a certain level of activity in that, and we go too quiet, that when things do come back, we'll have to dig ourselves out of a much deeper hole. Because Grateful Beach and Carolina Beach have much bigger budgets and will be in a position to continue with their PR efforts in a way that we would not. So that's really my biggest request in this discussion. We also took $6,000 that had originally been put into the influencer marketing campaign to again create this holdback. We'd be happy to keep that out of the budget. You know, it will impact things, but it's not going to impact nearly as much as the PR and content development. Maybe further down into the budget, the account management and so forth, the agency fees have been cut by 65%. There's a small budget in there for research. The online management that you see down there, those are all fixed costs. And the fulfillment budget of $1,000, that's the same as last year based on inquiries. The images and video budget, we cut that by 57.3%. And there are totals there at the bottom of $151,696 and the $16,855 holdback. Do y'all have any questions?
So, Debbie, you're the intent tonight is to ask for the release of the $16,855 to augment the campaign. Is that it?
In a perfect world, yes. I'd love it if the council would agree to that. If you want to, if we're also offering for consideration a compromise that if we could have at least $10,855 of that back to put back into public relations and content development, and then we could hold back the $6,000 that we had recently had budgeted for the influencer marketing campaign.
Okay.
You know, I talked to Sean and so forth about this. We talked quite a bit about the strategy, and Those are the two options that we wanted to propose to council for consideration.
Okay.
And the other thing that I wanted to emphasize as well, is I know we're here at June 15th and our fiscal year begins in 2 weeks in terms of marketing. And I was hoping to be able to ask the council to make a decision this evening if possible, so that the CBB would be able to move forward with a budget.
Okay. John, as liaison, do you have any opinion on this?
No, not really. We have not, the committee has not met this spring, so we haven't gone through this in much detail, except for tonight. I don't know, well, I guess one question would be, since that's called contingency and hold back, how important is that to go with the rest of the budget? Or can it be held back for several months to see how things are going?
Is that question posed to me, John?
Sure.
Okay. I would say it's important to go ahead and put it in the budget because an agency really has to know from the onset what their budget is. And particularly for PR and content development, it's such a small budget. I mean, even at $25,200, it's still a small budget for the agency, so they really have to be able to plan from the onset as to what they're going to be doing. Because, you know, the PR is such a cumulative marketing strategy that, you know, what we're doing in July dramatically impacts the results that we're going to see in September and so forth. So I would be concerned, John, that we might be handicapping ourselves to not go ahead and make that decision and allocate those funds.
Do we have any feel, if you will, for the impact of COVID-19 on the overall support in the Carolina Beach communities? I hate to see us use a lot of money to do a lot of promotion that doesn't yield much results.
Well, I think that there's always a lag, for one thing. So, yes, you know, the efforts that we're putting forth starting in July are really going to be impacting, in my opinion, our starting in our fall and into the spring market. Everything that I have read and heard and what Sean has seen, and she's certainly, Sean from the CDD, is that we are going to have a bounce back. And, you know, I've heard a lot of anecdotal feedback from folks as far as just activity on the island and vacation rentals are already seeing a good bounce. So I don't think that any efforts that we would have to keep our community top of mind would be wasted.
I'm going to give you my opinion on this. There's really two items going on here. First of all is the combined campaign. Since I'm on the TDA board, I guess I have a little bit more sense for the TDA, the ROT monies are coming in significantly reduced from last year's budget. We therefore are gaining some momentum by putting the amount of money we have into one bucket and actually pushing New Hanover County and the beaches. That's point number one. So we're gaining on that aspect. Within that particular campaign is the voice that we have specifically for Curie Beach. What we are talking about here is releasing money to represent Curie Beach, not necessarily to drum up new business during this period of time, because people are either going to come or possibly they're not. But the other towns will be investing in campaigns for their individual recognition. Wrightsville, Wilmington, and Carolina Beach. In an effort not to be left behind, the request is to add additionally this, in particular, $10,000. Now, you could say add the $10,000 later, but I would tell you when you spend the $10,000 up front during the planning phase, you will get more value for the $10,000 than as an add-on later, if you believe you need it. To me, that is what these arguments are about. So, Debbie, I don't know if I have miscommunicated that in any way, but that's my
understanding.
Okay.
I think it was very well said. Thank you. That of course, I echo everything you just said. I'm very concerned, and I think for the committee and for Sean that I don't want us to be left behind. Curie Beach always has the quietest voice in the PR story, because we always have the smallest budget, because we're the smallest community. We have the smallest ROC budget. So to me, it's very vital and important that we keep some level of PR activity out there to make sure that we are not lost and that people continue to keep us top of mind. Because these funds, the good news is that these funds are very specific only to Curie Beach.
So it's our hold back for Curie Beach. So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
Yes.
What are your thoughts, gentlemen?
I sit through the webinar that I put out explaining the cuts and the unified campaign, and I think they made the cuts where they need to, and like you said so very well, we don't need to be left behind. So I tend to agree that we need to approve this budget.
Well, she's asking us to change the budget, right? Because the budget she presented doesn't. She's asking
the budget
us to change
it. It has it in it. I believe. Debbie, the budget was.
I'm actually asking you to change the budget,
right,
to add $10,855 back into the PR and social media budget. And when I'm saying back in, we had a working draft budget that had the PR and content development budgeted at $25,200. So I'm asking you to change that line item from $14,345 to $25,200, which would change the contingency holdback from $16,855 to $6,000.
Yeah, so what she's really asking is to change what a previous council did by creating that line item and forcing 10% to be saved in contingency.
Right.
That's why that line item's there. For those not on council when it was created,
right,
that line item was created because a previous mayor and me and some other commissioners were not happy with exactly how all this plays out anyway, and so it was forced by the council on the committee that, 10% of the funds have to be in contingency. And it's been like that ever since then. And she's asking us to change that line. Is that correct, David?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what she's asking.
And
she made this budget based on the rules she was given. Yeah.
For this year.
I just feel that if we have a second wave of this, in 3 weeks, a month and a half, that money's just going to go to waste. I would much rather hold it back. It's just a year for austerity, in my opinion. And so I would not support
Here's the question for you guys.
Well,
These funds are specifically earmarked for marketing.
That's all it can be used.
What does the town plan to use the holdback for?
Yeah, when it was initially established, it was for post-hurricane. At least that's how it was presented. But I think that's the question of the council. Either someone makes a motion to approve the budget as presented, or someone makes a motion to change as requested by Debbie to move contingency to where she said it, which was public relations and content development. So that's where we're
if you leave it in contingency, it just stays there.
Right. That's her point. Exactly.
We don't use it in our budget.
No. It can only be used sometime for marketing. That's what it is for.
Right.
You ready for a motion? But we're the only community that has this holdback also.
Correct. That is correct. Yep.
Carolyn Beach don't have it?
No, nobody has.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
It might. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I'm not too concerned about them right now.
So John asked if you made a motion.
I'll make the motion that we support the marketing committee's recommendation to take the $10,855 from the contingency, put it against public relations and content development, raising that up to the $25,200. Amen.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any other questions, gentlemen? We have a motion and a second. Therefore, all in favor of the motion to include the 10,000, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
3-2. Here. Debbie, you have your money.
Thank you, gentlemen. I really, really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
And I'm going to hop off this call if that's okay, and I wish you a good evening.
All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to shoreline access and protection. Any representatives on from that committee?
We canceled this month's meeting. Just there's nothing pressing. So
okay. We still have the ambassador. Do we have the ambassadors out? That's not out right now.
They decided not to do that. Just too much risk right now.
Too much risk right now. Okay. I mean, I support that. I was just curious as to whether we were doing it or not. Planning and Zoning Commission. Earlier today we had a...
Yes, I'm here. Bring it out right.
Okay. Very good. Any feedback or anything you want to bring up?
No, the first item on your agenda is the sign amendment that you just had the public hearing on.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
We have some other items here. Some other issues that will require an additional public hearing related to the handicap ramp in yard testing.
Okay. And that is later on in the agenda, I believe.
It's on the agenda items right now under committee business. It may be later on.
It's right there. It's right now, Craig, if you want to go over.
Oh, it is right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, then let's go to the...
You just had the public hearing on. You need a motion to approve.
Yes.
For the signs, correct?
So I make a motion... After having a public hearing today, that we approve 15.40.040 sign ordinance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
How's the disability ramps?
Okay.
Okay, the item on the disability ramp there's a proposal. John, if John is there, he's probably best to be able to explain this. This is a fairly minor issue, but one that we need to address.
John?
Over the years, I've had several requests for ADA ramps coming out of individuals' houses when they find themselves disabled. Sometimes it's short term, sometimes it's long term. In almost all the cases, their preferred location encroached upon our town setbacks. And so this recently came up again. I brought it before PNZ. I said, sure, let's put an ordinance together. And so what you see here is what we came up with, basically making disability ramps an exception to setbacks, but only if the property owner signs a removal obligation that must take place before the house is sold or the disability is no longer an issue.
John, are they typically in the 20-foot front setback, or is it also the 5-foot side setback as well sometimes?
It's been both.
Okay.
Does that give us, for some reason, they would have to remove it if we had to do some work in the set place?
So we should never have to,
to do that, should we? Okay.
Because that is on their property.
That's on their property.
You cannot put it on town property, but, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And so the only concern would be access to the side and the fire. I mean, the front setback is not an issue. Or the back that much, but really the side setbacks would be the only one I'd have concern for. Chief, do you have any concerns with a ramp if you had to get
no,
out of
the
fire?
No, neighboring properties, of course, but.
Right.
I mean, obviously it would possibly limit it, but sure, John will be glad to give me a call. We can take a look at it.
I think most of the time this is going to be a... Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I'm glad you guys are looking at it. So do we have to have a hearing on this, or is this part of the session?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, this is a chapter 15, so you need to have a public hearing on.
Let me ask you this. Would we want to put some level of, you can't go further than a certain amount into the area? I mean, because I am worried about if... They do need to get ladders in, or they do need to get, what do we have? We have 5 feet on the side of each house, right?
Yes, that's 10 feet tall. Foot alley, that's right.
So you have a 10-foot alley. So I don't know if you have a single ramp up, that's what, 3 feet maybe?
Well, I mean, we could just edit to add this exception is only good for the front yard.
Well,
but the ramps have to comply with the building, and it's usually 1 to 12. So if you've got a 12-inch drop, you've got to run 12 feet long.
Oh, okay.
Particularly for a wheelchair.
Well, I want to be able to do this, but I also want to make sure we don't create an issue for our emergency services if somebody else needs them.
I think the chief said he was okay with it. I mean, you still have 5 feet on the other side, so you can get hoses by there. Our firemen can go over ramps if we had to, so we can get around stuff.
I'll walk you through what I do already. I mean, the first thing I do is speak to the property owner on the side or the contractor. If it's not feasible where they want to do it, I try to help them figure out how to do it where it does meet ordinance. I'm going to still do that because obviously I don't think anybody wants a 35-foot ramp in somebody's front yard. I don't think most property owners want that.
Right.
But as John pointed out a minute ago, these are most likely going to be on houses that are on crawl spaces, and they're usually around 30 inches above grade. So that is a 30-foot ramp.
Right.
It can't go all the way to the road, so there's going to be some kind of a turn or a job or something. I don't think anybody wants that in their front yard, but it has come up in the past.
Yeah, I think we want to support it. I appreciate you guys for bringing it up.
All right.
I think you can only run about 15 feet before you have to have The next platform, you can run down, have a platform,
sure.
Turn, and you go back the other way.
Got to have a transition area.
Nice.
I've built a bunch of these things to help through the warm program.
So I make a motion we set a public hearing before the next meeting on this.
Second.
July 20th at 5:30.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anything else, Craig?
Yeah, on the Historic Preservation Commission, which is the next agenda item.
Yep.
Okay, where we are right now is we are in the process of revising the proposal for the historic preservation overlay. We felt that based upon the suggestions of the state that we need to have a better definition about what the context and what the field is that the they can use to generate certificate of appropriateness in the design guidelines. We felt that we did not have the skills to do that, so we are proposing that we hire as a consultant and an architect to assist us with the definition about what each community is about in the context of being able to provide future guidance. So that's where we are right now. I believe that I have written a preliminary advertisement for that, and I'm not sure what the status of that is at the present time.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see what they can come back with. I think we all know what we don't want. We may not be totally sure what we do want.
So did we budget for that?
We added, I believe,
yeah. $5,000 in John's budget.
Okay,
right.
Thank you. I just want to make sure it's budgeted for. Thank you.
And then I believe the mayor hit exactly upon the issue that we were dealing with. We all had the idea of what we did not want, but we find it hard to describe what we did.
So this that should help. Give us some ideas.
Yeah, we need a professional.
Okay. When do you think you'll have feedback on that? For next meeting or?
We should have a proposal to hire a consultant at the next meeting. Again, if Beth is there, she might know the status of the advertisement.
Okay.
It's under review by staff. It looks like.
John. Okay.
Well, here comes staff.
Beth sent this to me last week from you, Craig. I just now read through it. I think that'll work just fine. So.
Okay.
Beth, are you just putting that on our listserv? And
yeah, listserv and the town website.
So it's going to go on the listserv and the town website.
All right. Good.
And that will be it from historic preservation.
Okay, thank you very much, Craig. Thank you for what you and planning and zoning are doing.
Thank you.
Next up is pedestrian committee. Any representation from them on the line?
I don't know if Mosaic. We are meeting monthly at our prescribed time. And I think we're planning a walkabout to look at some areas, and we'll have the town staff send that out where if any citizens want to join us, they'll know where to meet us in the time.
Okay. That'll be an interesting meeting. Land Use Committee.
We held our meeting. We elected officers and we submitted an advertisement for two citizen members of the committee. How many applications have we received? Just one? We just have one. But we will meet again in July to go over the applications. We will meet again in August just to kind of set, just to have a discussion amongst the committee. And then at that point forward, we'll start looking at a few things, make sure everybody's familiar with the land use plan. And there's no rush in this because we've been given extra time because of COVID. We will slowly begin to work our way through this. So we did form a little bit early, but again, wondering if we get impacted by a second wave, any type of shutdowns in the fall or next spring, so that if we have any delays that are beyond our control, we have everything ready for the state by the time that it's needed.
Okay. All right. Moving on to department head business, administration.
proposed amendment to the committee policy that's in your agenda packet. I'm sorry, I can't see it from here. For number six, under the red line, it says no person may serve upon more than three committees at one time, nor serve as chairperson of more than one committee, and we're striking that one, and you guys were okay with that. And then my next one, that's falling to it now. For board of adjustment members shall hold no other public office under the town government and shall be appointed by the town council. Planning and zoning members shall be allowed to serve on the Historical Preservation Committee and the Land Use Plan Committee, but no other town board, commission, or committee. Planning and zoning members shall be appointed by the town council. So that was what you guys had asked us to come back with, just to allow them the other, with the Land Use Plan.
Okay. Sounds pretty much exactly like what we agreed to.
Make a motion we adopt as presented.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you, Mandy.
Building Inspection Department.
Just a quick update on the ramp at 1004.5 Corpus Boulevard North. They have got the pilot install complete. They're installing the girder system at this point. I anticipate completion in the next 30 days or so. It's coming along nicely. Do you guys have any questions about that?
So you think it'll be done in 30 days?
That's what the contractor's telling me.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, John. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Finance Department.
So what I would like to do in relation to the proposed fiscal year 21 budget is to just summarize briefly the changes that occurred since it was presented to town council at the May 18th council meeting. I did review some of these things at the public hearing last Monday, but there's been additional changes since then. So the budget ordinance that you have in your agenda packet and the fee schedule have all been updated to reflect these changes that I'm talking about right now. So first I just have on slide two is a listing of all the proposed budgets for each fund, what was presented at the May 18th meeting, and then the changes that have occurred, and that's really just a net change. So you really see the only fund that's really changing is the general fund, and it's actually gone down by $2,736. But we really need to look at what makes that up. And this is a little busy or whatever, started to get a little long. But I'll just very quickly go through these. There's an increase to the expenditure budget for streets and sanitation for Oceanfront Park restroom cleaning. So that'll be from July 1st through Labor Day. So that's an increase of $2,000.
And that's the COVID-19 protocols?
Correct. Last week, we received notice from Waste Management that they are going to be increasing the recycle fee by 3%, effective July 1st. So that next line item reflects that increase of the actual annual increase amount will be $6,579. And we'll talk about the revenue impact in just a minute or two. But
That increase is for a certain period of time or just until they feel like?
Until the rates that they pay to the recycling processor, if they were to go up, this rate could change.
So it could continue to rise during the budget period.
This increase is related to the consumer price index, actually, and not to the actual processing cost. So if they see an increase that they pay the recycling process, or we could then see another increase at some point during the fiscal year.
Okay. Not much we can do about this one. All right.
And actually, I will just add the revenue piece of this, I guess, to keep it in sync. Down in the revenue section, you see recycling fees, and it says fee increase due to vendor rate increase of 3%. So what that means is increasing the monthly fee from $8.38 to $8.63, so there's a 25 cent per month increase. And that's keeping the expense and the and the fee charged to residents exactly in sync, so.
Okay.
The next expenditure item is the employee assistance program, and this is charged 75% to general fund, 25% to water and sewer. And it was something that, as we went through the budget process, got skipped at one point, so it's just adding it back in. It's an existing benefit.
Yes.
And we just inadvertently left that out. The next thing under finance is unemployment insurance. This is kind of a unique thing, I guess, with some of the people losing jobs. In particular, people that we've paid as lifeguards and part-time and volunteer firefighters that have lost their jobs with other employers. If the town has paid them any compensation within the last year, we are potentially on the hook for part of their unemployment benefits.
Wow, okay, that's so interesting.
So based on that, I've increased unemployment insurance. It's just a guess right now. We continue to have more potential claims come in that where we have, you know, have to.
So we have some that were part-time firefighters and lifeguards because we got all our lifeguards back.
Yeah, well, here's another unique thing is they could actually be currently working for the town.
And still get unemployment.
And we could still actually have to pay them unemployment benefits.
Okay.
Or a portion of them.
It's the government. Okay.
Right.
Interesting.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's obviously not local government.
I'm sorry?
I'm kidding. It's not local government.
No.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
But it's just...
Yeah,
I thought it was necessary to increase it just based on some of the potential claims that we presented with at this point.
That's amazing.
The next couple items are actually due to cancellation of certain events, so it's actually decreasing the original budget. So community center, the barbecue was canceled, so a $1,500 reduction. Parks and Rec, some Boogie in the Park events canceled, as well as some of the children and family programs, so that's $8,000 reduction. I also have debt service up there. We finalized the loan and actually have the loan proceeds for the town fuel tank project that was done. And with everything, it was actually, we had got better terms than originally had budgeted, so there's a reduction of $2,150 of future debt service. And then finally, for the town council budget, I had mentioned this last week too, I guess the town contributes to the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce concert series that are held in at Fort Fisher. And at this point, we're aware of about 2 of the 6 concerts being canceled, so we will reduce the contribution that we give to them for concerts. And if any more concert, you know, any additional concerts are canceled, we will adjust accordingly before
right.
making that contribution.
Good.
So that nets out to an actual decrease of $2,736. On the revenue side, I've adjusted our sales tax estimate based on additional information we've received about the potential COVID-19 impact. So actually I've reduced our estimated revenue for sales tax by $100,000. Then as mentioned earlier, the barbecue held by the community center committee is canceled for this upcoming year, and so remove that potential revenue of $3,000. It talked about the recycling fees, the 3% increase, so that's an increase to our revenue of a little over $7,700. I have a minor item with a purchase card rebate, increase of $250. And then finally, to balance everything, it's actually increasing the appropriation that we're making from the fund balance as part of this budget by $92,000. and brings the total appropriation for the budget to $117,724. And again, not a practice that we typically do to appropriate fund balance as part of the budget process, but I think with all the uncertainties, I think it's probably good approach for this current year.
Okay. Now, that number includes everything in the budget as it sits today.
Correct.
Nothing moved out, nothing done later, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay. So we have levers to push in here.
Yes. There's additional things we can do once we get into the new budget year in regard to, holding back on whether it be certain equipment purchases, staffing changes, things that we can kind of delay to the end of the first quarter to January 1st, if need be, to see how our revenue sources are holding up.
Okay. Good. We have room?
I also just have there were also some changes to the water and sewer fund, even though they net out to zero. One being, the first two items about the employee assistance program and unemployment insurance kind of covered. This is just the portion that gets charged to the water and sewer fund. In regard to water and sewer operation, we're just going to flip-flop something a little bit. There was a pump that was included in the equipment capital outlay that we've actually now just recently purchased this year. So we're taking that out, but actually just included it into the potential infrastructure projects. So in the end, this overall budget stays the same as originally proposed. Then also for the PAL bill fund, we would hear a lot of different things that our allocation could be reduced anywhere from 5 to 25%. So what I went ahead and did is adjust the budget to assume that we're gonna have a 20% reduction. The reason the overall budget doesn't change is I've taken that same amount and said that we will appropriate it from the PAL bill fund balance. We have some paving projects scheduled for this upcoming fiscal year, and it's just another one of those items we may want to just hold off a little bit and see what really does happen with our outbill allocation. We'll know that before the end of September. So that's all I have on the changes. So as I said, what's in your agenda packet is a updated that reflects all these changes, budget ordinance, and also the same with the fee schedule.
I haven't had the opportunity to look at the monthly report. Can you tell me where we stand now that we're at the end of, or the 2 weeks left in the old budget?
We're in good shape. I mean, it's the best way I could put it. Most revenue sources were either on target or ahead of budget. Water and sewer may be a little bit different. We're probably running a little bit behind there in regard to water and sewer charges. But in the general fund, I think we're overall doing very well.
All right. So what percent of the budget have we spent approximately? I know it's up there. I can't see it.
Yeah. Well, I can't see it from here either. But I think we've spent about 86-87%.
Nice job by the department heads. And that's really the reason to bring it up, to let people know these guys have been good with their money.
I think everybody does a good job in, doing only what's necessary, I guess, and actually,
right.
and when they do that, making sure they get a good price for what we're getting.
Thank you for your management. Appreciate it, Armin. And all of you department heads, nice work.
So, you want a motion to approve the budget as presented? I like a motion we approve the budget as presented.
Second.
Any other questions, gentlemen? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nice job, Ron. Nice job, department heads.
Yep. Good job all around.
So the next item I have goes along with what John had mentioned about the beach access at 104.5, and the fact that when we originally budgeted for this and planned for it, we thought it would be completed in the current fiscal year that we're in, and of course with all the COVID-19 impacts, that it's was actually delayed a little bit. So as John mentioned, it's actually probably not going to be completed until next fiscal year.
Yeah.
So to try to keep everything in sync in regard to the constructed asset and revenue sources, what I'm proposing here is that we adopt this capital project ordinance, and that allows us to do the project over multiple fiscal years and accumulate the costs accordingly. So it doesn't change anything in regard to the costs. I mean, the costs are all exactly the same.
Right.
It's just how it's accounted for. And then there's a budget amendment that also goes along with that, that transfers everything out of the general fund and into the new beach access capital project fund.
So you said ordinance and then amendment. We just need to pass the budget amendment, correct? Or is there a separate ordinance?
Well, there needs to be a separate ordinance since it's a separate capital project.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Can we do it all in all in one motion?
I think you can, yes, Al.
Just name it out, what you're doing.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we do a capital project for 104.5 beach access, and also to adopt a budget amendment 20-18.
I'll second.
Any questions for Arlen on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Arlen.
Nice job, Arlen.
Fire department.
No updates, sir.
All right. Police department.
No updates.
Public works department.
Good afternoon. I give council a copy of the local water supply plan. I'm asking council to approve the plan as presented.
You can look it up under old business 8.3, the local water supply plan. Council, if you need to pull it down. So it's resolution R1905. I'll be glad to read it if Jimmy would like. Yep. Whereas North Carolina General Statute 143-355I requires each unit of local government that provides public water services or plans to provide such services shall, either individually or together with other such units of local government, prepare and submit a local water supply plan. And whereas, as required by the statute and in the interest of sound local planning, the local water supply plan for the town of Pure Beach has been submitted to the town council for approval. Whereas the town council finds that the local water supply plan is in accordance with the provisions of North Carolina General Statute 143-355I, and that it will provide appropriate guidance for the future management of water supplies for the town of Curie Beach, as well as useful information to the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources for development. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Curie Beach Town Council, that the local water supply plan entitled 2019 Local Water Supply Plan, updated March 2020, is hereby approved and shall be submitted to the Department of Environment and Natural Resources Division of Water Resources. And be it further resolved that the Town Council intends that this plan shall be revised to reflect changes in relevant data and projects it at least once every 5 years or as otherwise requested by the Department in accordance with the statute and sound planning practice adopted by the Town Council this 15th day of June 2020. So that's the resolution. If you look at the very next local water supply data in your packet, basically there's four pages that list the plan. Basically it talks about the wells that we use and how we use the wells. So first there's system information, and then there's water use information, the number of residents, commercial customers, the average usage, then the water supply sources, which are basically our wells. And you can see if you keep this now, you guys know where all the wells are if you didn't already. The name and the number of the wells. And then wastewater, similar information in planning for population and the estimates based for the next, basically 2020 to 2060. And this, Jimmy, just puts in a template and it estimates based off our past growth. And then So that's the plan. I don't know if council has any other questions regarding that for Jimmy.
You made a motion, right?
I'm ready to make a motion. I read the resolution. I'll be glad to make a motion if there are no questions from council. Make a motion to adopt the resolution as read.
Second. Any questions, gentlemen?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that it?
Is that it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I also submitted a department monthly report. I just want to know if there was any questions from council.
No, actually, it was a good report, Jimmy.
All right.
I looked through it and learned some things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay, Recreation Department.
So wait, you skipped us about our personnel policy amendments. Am I hitting myself? Jimmy,
Yeah, you got that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, Nikki. Did you have anything?
No, not tonight, sir.
Okay. Well, then would you like to speak, Mandy?
Yeah.
Yes, so we're now to old business.
Yeah, we were out of old business into new business.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I just don't want to forget.
Okay. Carolina Beach, Curie Beach Sewer Authority. No,
old
I'm sorry. Stormwater update, Mr. Hagler. Yeah, I'm getting on the right page.
Fair enough. You can tell it's been a long day for council already. So two things on the stormwater update. One, the council was copied on an email last Friday to all of the HOAs that own active stormwater pond permits. If you remember, we got a letter back in December from the state auditing our stormwater plan, which Public Works is working through. One of the things in that was the fact that it is now a requirement for municipalities to audit and oversee permits within their boundaries. We have 5 pond stormwater permits in Curie Beach. From my perspective, as we talked to council before, my recommendation to council, which council has approved, was to create a stormwater oversight committee and then have each of the HOAs that own a permit have a member on that committee with myself and the Public Works Director. So that email has went out. So far, 2 of the 5 have replied with their member. We gave them until this Friday, the 19th, and then any that we don't get, we'll contact the president of the HOA. Once we have the 5 members, we'll set up our first meeting sometime in July to start talking through that. When we pulled the information for that from the state, one of the ponds in the town is currently listed as expired. That HOA has reported to me that they have submitted all the information to the state, but it still shows expired, so we got to work that out. The rest of them, the next one doesn't expire until 2021, so we now have a good record of who's in there, and we'll get that working. So that's the first thing. Any questions on that, about which way I'm going with that? Everybody's still okay with that moving forward? And that committee will do 2 things. One, it will be permit oversight. So we will school them on their individual permits as we learn about them, because Jimmy and I haven't been looking at their permits either. So we will, as a group, read all of the requirements for those 5 permits and then audit the individual permit owner to those requirements. That should be an interesting process. I hope it goes well. So that's the first thing. Second thing is I sent out the LDSI report, and I thought I sent it out to you guys after the May meeting, but I realized when I was going through my records I hadn't. So I know council has just got this last Friday. I just sent it to the town clerk and assistant town clerk to be posted as part of the minutes. I want to talk about the 5 recommendations that I highlighted to you, just to put it on the record, and then we have some work to do to figure out how much this is going to cost to deal with. So if we go to page 10 of that, if I can get there. There's basically 5 throttle specific travel points that were addicted that could be or are causing restrictions to performance in the drainage network. So remember, our project was to identify areas A and B, which is the north part of town, and then to assess those areas for recommendations for us to then turn into projects to improve. The first one, if you'll let me share, so I can drive. So hold on, take me a second to get my computer to do that. And for those out in the audience, this will be on the town's website after tonight's meeting as part of the agenda, so you'll be able to read it. I know at least one of the HOAs was interested, and I'm sure some other people were interested as well. But I'm starting at page 10, which is what I directed council to look at as we went. So the first one is an inlet pipe, and basically you have multiple large pipes, 18-inch and 15-inch pipes, coming into a 12-inch pipe, which was identified as the throttle. And so we'll go through the five findings and then we'll go to their recommendations. But basically what this is saying is that if the 15 and 18 inch pipes were required based on the drainage downstream capacity, putting them into a 12 inch pipe would be a problem, right? So that's what they're identifying. These are the throttling issues, right? The second one is the one that I sent council multiple pictures of over the weekend with all the rain, and basically it is the pipes that come with a 48 inch underneath Town Hall parking lot and then drops to a 30 inch before it goes out into the ditch going back to the river just west of the fire department. And the reason I sent pictures to council was because there were concerns from the Beachwalk HOA, that's the right one, that has the two ponds, that this throttling could be limiting their pond throughput. And so taking advantage of a scientific study that was basically all the rain we had for the last 4 days, I'd seen this during the hurricane and pointed out to multiple councilmen, but didn't take good pictures. So I took some pictures over the weekend to just show what's happening. And basically in those pictures, you can see that even though this drops to this 30-inch pipe, on the front end side, it's never throttling. It's based off the 9 inches of rain we had late Friday and early Saturday. So those pictures were taken Saturday morning after a fire call that I sent to council. But it's still, we need to assess this, right? And I think in here, the model showed this does not operate under a surcharge condition during the 25-year storm event. It was found that the existing network will use the ponds to attenuate stormwater relief pressure that will then lower in the network. So basically, they were saying that at least under a 25 storm event, this is not a problem. It does potentially pose a problem in a large storm event that could cause flooding within the ponding areas prior to reaching the system's maximum outflow. But if we looked at the pictures from the weekend, the two outlets of the second pond had less capacity than the one pipe leading to our area. So we still need to review that a little more, I believe.
I think that, too, if you look back at the stormwater permit when we did the construction here, I think we answered some of those questions to
exactly right.
HOA because the calculations were done.
That's right.
For
yeah.
that stormwater permit.
But they did show that in the system, yeah. Anytime you have something bigger going into something less big, that's a throttling point, and they identified it, right? The next one's on North 4th Avenue between L and M. And basically, this is an 18 going to a 12, going to a 15. Jimmy and I, this is one of the ones we definitely want to cost. They believe that even in a two-year storm event, it could be supercharged or surcharged is what they're saying, so it could be limiting. And it's only about 100 feet of pipe, so we're probably going to work with those property owners and change that out as one of the first priorities of a project. One, it's easy, and two, it makes sense based off their assessment that it is surcharged. The fourth one is at N Avenue and Settlers Lane. And actually, these are the two 24-inch pipes that are outcharges of the ponding system. These are actually were just installed by Beachwalk when they redid their piping stuff. That wasn't one time an open ditch, so we need to look at their calculations to understand. It says that it does not cause any surcharging, but they just highlighted the fact that it identifies a choke point. And then the final one is between N and I Avenue, a similar thing where you have two 15s and a 12 feeding into a single 18-inch pipe. This one, again, the 25-year storm event, says it's not enough to cause a surcharge, but we just should look at it. So those are the five choke points that were identified. Then it talks about some other issues. One of these, this is, I'm just showing the drawing now of a pipe that's in with ditches, and they just question why that is. That one will be passed on to the HOA that owns that area, so that's not actual town. That's between two of the ponds in Beachwalk. That was highlighted during the discussion, and Bill was hearing that, so he'd asked for this. So I'll make sure this is sent to him tonight after we've posted it, but I wanted to present it at council before we went through it. So a good report. We've got some cost data. That's the next step, is Jimmy and I getting some cost information for that and then prioritizing them and bringing it back to council. Any questions on the report? I know you guys haven't had a lot of time to look at it, but I think we'll bring it back up in July so you guys do have more time. And that'll also give the HOAs that are interested time to review it as well and send questions in. So I would ask that this get added back to old business, the LDSI report, versus a generic thing so people know what it is. And that'll give people a month to look at it and send in questions so we can answer questions.
So, David, only one of those was...
Two were problems for two-year events. Two were, and then the other three were not for 25, but we still want to look at them because we may want to address one or more of them as we look through.
All right.
When the HOAs look through them, I assume they'll have some questions, and we'll get those back to LDSI to answer, to understand. There's obviously multiple people that have significant stormwater issues around those two ponds and the Sandman properties and other questions. So I'm sure people will look very closely through that part of it. And then there are some other issues in the fourth and N Avenue, because there's some property owners there that concern with some drainage issues that will look at that part of it as well. But definitely those two pipes are going to be on the we should do this, I think. And then the other three, we just need to work through the work.
Okay.
So no request for action from council this time, but sharing information.
Thank you. Can I make a motion to reinstate the stormwater committee?
Yes, I do. So I thought I asked that at the last meeting. I'll make a motion to establish the stormwater permit oversight committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And to identify the members as one member from each HOA responsible for a pond, the Public Works Director and the Public Works Commissioner.
And then I'll bring back the actual name of the members once I know to the consent agenda.
Yes. That'd be perfect. I'll give it back to you, ma'am, as soon as I can figure out how to turn it off.
Actually, that's a pretty good report for the quite a bit of effort went into that, and there's some good information. Some things to act on. Okay. Still an old business. Now, Mandy. Now that I'm on the right page.
Now that I've tried to run over everybody.
Thank you.
Nancy has brought forward some changes to our personnel policy. And Nancy, I got at the very last minute last week two suggestions from a department of things in the policy that they would like to see. So I just said that I would bring it to council since it was already on the agenda at that point. One was if on page 12 under section 4,
section 4,
yep. At the very bottom, under number three, it says disciplinary suspension should not normally exceed 3 work days for non-exempt employees. And we've kind of always gone by, part two, where we can suspend an employee for up to 3 days. I've had several department heads in the past ask about a longer suspension, and so one department head, in regards to changes in the policy, has come forward and asked for, can we change it to up to 5 days? So I just wanted approval on that part. And then another thing they thought they would like to see added was for promotion, consideration of promotions after a suspension. They wanted to stretch that or put a statement in there that says that, you know, basically they are not eligible for a promotion after a suspension for 6 months to a year.
Which one is that? What page is that on?
It's not on
a page. Oh, you want to add that?
They want to add that. They brought it forward. I said I would bring it forward. So that's kind of.
And did we not extend that suspension period to 5 days?
We may have. We didn't because we said we were going to do it when we did this.
Yeah, we
had approved it.
Yeah.
But we didn't actually put it in.
No, we didn't because I asked for time not to approve it until this meeting.
Right.
So basically the other brand new thing, comes, the only other thing coming forward then would be the promotion of after a suspension first.
Well,
6 months or a year.
Or promotions at the discretion of the department head, or are they time-based anyway?
No, they're more at the discretion of the department head.
Then why would you lock all the department heads in when they could just hold it for a year? I'm just asking, so I understand, right? I mean, if the department heads, and I think that's how it is, I'm asking the question, I think it is, but I'm not positive. If it's at the discretion of the department head, why would you lock all the other department heads in because if you write in this policy, no one can give anyone a promotion after they suspend them.
Right.
I could see the policy becoming a problem, frankly.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is if you have a department head who's got a situation where he has a sudden opening, and maybe the discretion wasn't significant, but now you can't put the most qualified individual into the position. I think I would rather leave it with their discretion, as David is talking about here.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I'm fine.
So you can make it 2 years if you want at your discretion, but right. I would say don't limit it.
It states at the discretion now, or it doesn't address it at all?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, it's just kind of up to your department if they're going to promote you or not. I mean, there is things under promotions, but it is at the discretion of the department head. It's not. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I agree with it. But with, you know, someone coming to me with it and with it being up for debate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. No, I think you should bring it up if a department had asked for it. I don't know where all the other department heads are, and if it's said there, if it's time-based, I understand why you want that. But if it's at the department head's discretion anyway,
right,
then I wouldn't lock everyone else into that, because Craig's just got one example of why. There could be others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any department head here who has a different view?
Would you rather it be at your discretion or it be locked into 1 year if you suspend someone and then you wanted to promote them? You had to wait for a year. Do you have an opinion either way?
Me personally, I like at the discretion, because you can still do the 6 months, or you can do, like Craig said, Mr. Mayor said, three years.
Right.
At your discretion at that point.
You agree, Jimmy? And
absolutely.
Mike, do you have an opinion either way?
I get it both ways.
Right, yeah.
I get it both ways.
Yeah, okay. Flip a coin.
I think it was probably us that brought it up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
But, it doesn't...
I mean, I'm not against it. If you want the council to write a policy that limits you, that's fine.
I mean, it does leave it up to, it doesn't say it's at the discretion, but it says when a current employee applying for a vacant position is best suited of all applicants, he or she may be appointed to that position. But if they've been in trouble and have been suspended, then they may not be the best applicant for that position. So it does, it could go either way. It doesn't say you have to give it to them.
Right. That's how I figured
right.
It was.
So.
I think discretion is the best way to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have no trouble with the 3 to 5 days
okay.
or leaving it with the discretion of the department head.
It says may go up to 5 days.
Yeah.
Right?
We need consensus.
Say up to 5 days.
So yeah. You'll make these changes and then we'll vote on it next.
We can. Yes.
We do it now.
Or,
yeah, we could.
You don't have to.
We don't have to wait. I think you can go ahead and approve it if I'm just changing that one thing.
Yeah, so the question is, did everyone else read through all the other red things? It looks like someone's trying to deliver.
Yeah, some big boxes coming in.
Here, here's a fob. You can let them in the other one.
All right.
Okay. So, I mean, I've read it. I'm fine with all the other stuff.
I read it and I'm fine with it.
I have no issue with it.
So then I make a motion we change it from 3 to 5 days and approve as otherwise presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All set?
I do need you to also
resolution.
Resolution.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Make a motion to adopt resolution R20-077, a resolution adopting the proposed amendments to the personnel policy.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Beth. Resolution 1905.
We did that before.
Took us out of work.
Yeah, we did that on above. Carolina Beach and Curie Beach Sewer Authority adoption of rates.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A busy night for you.
It is. It's a public works night, right? So Joe and Arlen and Jimmy and I met with Carolina Beach on May 21st, I believe. Yeah, May 21st. Nice. Basically to review the previous year's spending. So to remind council and anyone on the call how this works is we send about two-thirds of our sewer to Carolina Beach and they process it in a regional sewage treatment plant. When that regional plant was first set up, Carolina and Curie Beach were appointed to the sewer authority. So two members of the Carolina Beach Council and two members of the Curie Beach Council are on that sewer authority. Once a year, we meet to look back at the Carolina Beach's audit, which has all the spending associated with processing that sewage, and then we reset the rates for the next year, and then in that resetting of the rates, because the rates from the previous year are not perfect, we then either get a credit or a debit that either Carolina Beach owes us or we owe Carolina Beach. And so after the sewer authority sets those rates, then the sewer authority members of each council go back to their council, have to adopt the new rates, and then we get a check, although we got the check today, so they're assuming we're going to accept their rates. As always, Arlen did a great job of looking through all the numbers for us, so Joe and I had the easiest job. And then Jimmy worked with their public works department to just understand what's going on. The only real issue that came up, and it was more of an interesting issue than a problematic issue, is that the sewer meter from the aquarium is not being calibrated properly. That is an issue for both towns because that sewage comes through Curie Beach and we pump it up there, so we charge them a pumping fee, and then Carolina Beach charged them a processing fee. So we're working on who's going to. Jimmy and the public works director at Carolina Beach took it offline to figure out who's going to work on that calibration, and we'll make sure that moving forward is taken care of. Not really a big impact, but so in your packet is a memo from Arlen to us establishing the new rates, and I'll just make a motion that we adopt the rates and then read the rates as required. So make a motion that we adopt the variable cost rate of $0.1587 per 1,000 gallons increase. So it goes to $1.28.34 per 1,000 gallons for the variable cost. And then the fixed cost decreases to $12,908.95. That's the monthly cost. And then capital recovery decreases to $1,654.49. As a result of those changes, Carolina Beach will owe us $39,541.54 for July 2019 through April 2020. So I make a motion that we adopt those rates as presented, and Arlen will be glad to cash the check that we received from Carolina Beach.
I'll second.
All right. Motion and a second. Any questions on the rates? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good work.
Thank you.
Anytime it results in a return.
Doesn't always.
Work. I know.
Typically, it should go back and forth. Yep. If it's done properly, what should happen is that every year should alternate.
Now,
we're getting better and better at it, but.
I do have a question for you, and that is, if we have that issue in particular with the aquarium, do we have that same issue with the recreation center?
No. There may be another meter. I'm not sure how we do the recreation center. Jimmy, you
remember? There is a meter that we read.
For the rec center as well? Yeah. So I guess it is. Yeah. We'll look at both of them.
Yeah.
And Federal Point. Or the fort. Fort Fisher.
Fort Fisher is the one I was talking about.
Well, the aquarium is talking about the museum, and then the National Guard.
The museum, I'm not sure. I don't think there is a meter.
Right. We'll research that and get back to you, Craig. I'm not 100% sure either.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all.
But, so the only issue for us, because we charge off water, because we supply water to those entities, they pay sewer based off our water.
Right.
The issue is paying Carolina Beach for their sewer, which should be off the sewer meter. So this meter calibration, that's why we haven't decided who's calibrating and all that they may have offline, is Curie Beach, we got our money because we know how much water we sent them, and we charge them that way. That's different than Carolina Beach was charging them off the sewer meter. So that's how it came up. They're the ones that realized it because it's their charging issue, not ours.
Okay, good. All right.
Well, we want to help, right? We're good customers. Yep. We want to help.
Good citizens.
That's right.
Additional golf cart. Mr. Whitley.
I've asked Mandy to pull the G Avenue Beach Access up on Google Earth. I was approached by several citizens. That north wall of the G Avenue Beach Access is currently no parking. We could fit 4 to 5 golf carts parked east or west, or how would be the best way to describe it, in a straight line.
Do you have the access number?
G.
The beach access number? No.
Right.
Put 522 South Fort Fisher Boulevard, and that'll be close in Google Earth, and then you'll just have to find it. But that's going to be pretty close, I think. I'm not positive, but I think that's cool.
Should be able to just move it from there, just put it here or something.
I just wasn't sure which one it was.
PHI.
Are you familiar with this, Mike?
The access or the access number?
Or the request to park the golf carts.
I guess there was an email going around, and if you do it in that one, there should be room in other accesses to put a golf cart. But if you do it, it needs to be marked well,
because
people just park however they want to.
Yeah.
The immediate need, let's go ahead and, that's currently no parking, let's allow golf cart parking there. That pulls golf carts out of the spaces for vehicles. But then also, in the continuing debate that we're going to probably have September, October, about paid parking, we could look at the other beach accesses and identify some areas, because I do think we maybe need to add 1 or 2 spaces. If we do move to paid parking, revenue from a couple extra golf carts would be beneficial because you can fit more golf carts in than vehicles. So just, again, looking down the road. But the immediate need, let's handle this for the G Avenue and then...
I'm not opposed to doing something about it. My question is there enough room for a vehicle to back out without a problem?
I think so. If you park them, I believe it's parallel to the wall.
Yeah, parallel. That's okay. What I was trying to say earlier.
Okay. So there used to be cars parked there before we marked it out properly. So
yeah, the cars are parked parallel along that wall, then the vehicles are parked perpendicular. Right. So now we're just... Now it's just dead space. Let's let four or five golf carts there. That'll take them out of that parking spaces at G Avenue. But then also start the dialogue of let's look at the other beach accesses and see what accommodations could be made heading into the conversation about pay parking next year.
I don't have any more questions.
Make sure that you just feel like it'll be that way.
I went down there and walked it. I mean,
so before we laid it out this way, when we didn't have bumpers and everything, cars did park the same way he's proposing for golf carts to park. Now, I guess we can measure it and come back to council with here's exactly how much space there is. I don't know how much space you have to have to back a car, but cars were parked there before, so I think golf carts could park there now. I agree with Joe. I'm not sure how we eliminated that. I guess when we last time painted that, we just allowed that to be no parking because I've noticed people aren't parking there, but they did a long time ago, I know.
It was gravel, and we put bumpers down, or Jimmy put bumpers down, but now we put up no parking.
Just right there on that, right there on the fence, yeah.
So
we changed it to golf cart parking, but Mike's point is it needs to be painted with smaller. Yeah. Golf cart parking rectangle,
right,
so that people don't put cars there.
Paint it and paint golf carts only.
Right. I'm okay with Joe's request. It's not a big cost. Of course, it might take a little while to get to it, right? Especially the rain's got to stop first, but yeah. So you want us to propose a layout and bring it back to the July meeting? Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. I'll work with Jimmy to do that. We'll bring a layout back and then make sure Mike's comfortable with it. And if council approves it at July meeting, we'll get it painted in late July.
Yeah, so I would say, doesn't appear to be any opposition to it. Let's look at what it would take to do it.
So are there any other beach accesses, Chief or Jimmy, that have one side not parking at all at this point? That's the only one, right?
What about the Lutheran, where the two Lutheran church is?
Yeah, you got that one.
But that's really narrow.
Yeah, that one is tired.
J Avenue as well is parking on one side only. And further towards the east of J Avenue, you can put more parking in there to put golf carts or some other. Or it might be better.
So you think there's three to look at? Is that what you recommend? I'll get with you.
Yeah.
I'll get with you after the meeting and with Jimmy and we can look at them.
Because I Avenue already has golf cart. Mm-hmm. Or
just two, yeah.
Yep. So does council want us to look at more than just this one beach access that we're looking at? And if there's areas that will not eliminate car parking but could add golf cart parking, is that what you're asking us to do?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start laying the groundwork for next year.
Okay, we know what. I just want to make sure we identify what we're doing. Okay.
If we do the main parking.
And also, there's a point to be made here. A golf cart is a vehicle. It can park in a car spot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It can park in a car spot, but we can also have some spots just for them that would open up car spots. So, all right. Got some work to do on that one.
Yeah.
But I think it'll help out the town and help out the citizens too, actually.
Yes.
ADA transition plan. Are you going to do that, Mandy, or is...
I think Nancy is. She's on the line.
Are you on, Nancy?
Star six.
Maybe not.
She's, she, I know she's here.
Do you have a chance to look at this ADA plan, John?
I have not looked at it, sir.
Well, what we can do then, because I certainly would like John's input on this, I believe.
Yeah, there was a memo in the agenda package to go along with it from Nancy. She says that you need to name a staff person as the town ADA coordinator, and then it also would need to go for public comment.
Okay.
Wait a minute, she's trying to connect. She said well, star 6 wasn't working.
Okay.
I can't unmute her. She'll have to unmute herself.
Okay.
But she can, I asked her to check that her actual mute was on also.
Well, the good thing is her memo says consider adoption at the July or August meeting. That gives you and staff time to review the plan.
Is it a public hearing or just taking a public comment?
Public comment. Can't unmute her.
Yeah, it doesn't say if it has, well, I mean, she allowed public comment in her memo introducing it.
She did confirm there is no public hearing, but we would hold a public comment section. You have to advertise and hold that. That is part of the ADA plan.
Yeah. No.
But I think John going through it, and she's also suggested appointing John as the ADA coordinator.
I second that.
I mean, I did look through all this material that she gave us. I looked at the community center things and where we appear to be lacking adequate number of handicapped spaces. But that is something that I think...
Oh, Nancy, you're not muted now. She's not muted. She should be able to talk now.
Nancy, we're saying, we're being told you should be able to talk now. Can you look at your cell phone to see if your mute's on?
Oh, she just muted again.
Now you're muted again on the system.
Oh, now she's unmuted again. She should be good to talk now.
Now you're unmuted again. Well, so, I mean, the good thing is that with her memo, she provided the work.
Yeah, I think...
I can call her and have her speak over the microphone.
Okay, good. That would be perfect. Technology is great.
Yeah,
it's when it works.
Yeah. Do you want me to just put you on my head? That was weird because they kept unmuting me. I'm going to put you on speaker. Okay.
So I haven't learned how to operate a phone in retirement.
That's good. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. I was assuming you saw the memo.
Yes, ma'am. We talked about it while we were trying to get you home. So you said we didn't have to have a public hearing, but we wanted to take public comments, and your press release, which is also attached, shows a comment ends at close of business. Is there a certain amount of time that is recommended for that?
I would probably say at least until your next meeting or 30 days. It doesn't specify.
And then the press release, you just recommend that goes out as well? And then put that information.
You put on the website.
Yeah, you put a question mark on comments. I assume that would be to Beth. Right?
I think the question marks were whether your meetings were open to the public mail or you're still doing everything over the phone. Or how you want to receive comments.
We are still doing it over the phone. So what we could do is allow email comments or they could call with comments.
Yeah.
And we can put it on the website, put the plan on the website, have it available there. Worst case scenario, if they can't access a computer, we can print it and mail it, you know, make arrangements for them to get it either way.
That sounds fine. And if he needs to go to the Disability Resource Center or any other, that was the only agency that I can identify in the area that works with persons with disabilities.
Nancy, when you came to your conclusions for and recommendations in this thing, was that based on state statutes or?
Well, my conclusions based on what?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Were her conclusion? He wants to know if your conclusions were based on state statutes.
On the federal ADA.
Federal ADA, okay.
Regulations.
All right.
And so I saw that you made an assessment of $5,000 to fix what you thought, but I'm looking in the plan and it says the sidewalks, K Avenue, Atlantic Avenue, Fort Fisher Boulevard, E and I Avenue, and 6th Avenue. I'm sorry, not that's the sidewalks on K Avenue and Fort Fisher Boulevard. Fort Fisher Boulevard sidewalks will cost a lot more than $5,000 to fix the issues that I believe they have.
I don't feel like that's the town's responsibility. I know that we maintain it, but anything that's done to those sidewalks, and you know there's some that are in not such great conditions, would require widening in the right way and some of the slopage. So I didn't, to me, that's a DOT, it's a state road.
Okay. I just want to understand that because.
And some of those areas are already on the list of projects that the WMPO has for DOT projects, transportation projects.
Okay, the sidewalks are? Okay.
Yeah, some of it's in there. Not, I don't remember the specifics, but there was like 1,000 projects in
I understand.
WMPO, so 1,400 or something like that. So,
I just want to understand before we put this out for public comment. Yeah. Because one of the things in here said 2 years in the budget, and I want to understand what's in and out before I say I agree with that.
I would think sidewalks or anything like that would go through DOT.
Except for our sidewalk, which is on K Avenue, east of Fort Fisher.
Correct.
Mm. East what of about Fort west of Fort Fisher? There's a
sidewalk. That's a state road.
So you're saying K Avenue is a state road?
Yeah, K Avenue is a state road, isn't it?
But wouldn't all of K Avenue be a state road?
No, just 421.
Just
421. The business district outside, those are all ours.
Sorry, I got my directions flipped.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood. Okay, that's all the questions I have, sir.
No, that's quite all right, because there are just a couple questions there, but okay. So the recommendation was that we put this out for comment.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we put the plan out for comment as prescribed and set up a public comment period and then what the July council meeting.
30 minutes before?
No, it's not a public period, it's a public comment.
We'll take public comments up through to the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Right, Nancy, we can just take comments that way. We don't have to have like an hour. We can just have the whole from now until the next meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can do it that way.
Okay. So I'll amend my motion to take public comment till the July town council meeting.
And I would say any comments that you get that you think should be added to the plan can be done as part at that meeting. And the plan is a living document. It's not going to, like, from now on, any complaints that you get about ADA resolution, if something needs to be done, it needs to be added to that plan until it's fixed.
Okay. Well, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second.
Oh, a second. Sorry. I thought he did.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought he
missed it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. John, I would like you to take a look through this as well to see if there's any impact that you see. All right.
I do have comments.
Thank you. Anything else for Nancy?
I would expect nothing less.
Anything else for Nancy?
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Or did Nancy have anything else for us?
Do you have anything else for Council, Nancy?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Next item is mayor updates with COVID as well as the other items we've discussed today. I have no other items. So, commissioner items.
John? I have a couple items, Mayor. I want to give the council that was listening certainly an update from our last MPO meeting. That's the Metropolitan Planning Organization, and I'm sure you should read to that. Since they're getting ready to release Transportation Plan 24-5, they have dissolved or disbanded the Citizens Action Committee that needs to help prepare that, and that will not be reactivated until they go into session for Transportation Plan 2050, which will be next year sometime. We also, as an organization, drafted a memo to support the North Carolina Department of Transportation policy to restrict moped use on roads with speed limits over 45 miles an hour. So the MPO supports the NCDOT rule of no mopeds, for instance, in this area, on Dow Road. Not that that carries that much weight necessarily, except we did officially support that. We discovered, as an MPO, the executive director up there discovered that over $300 million for excess transportation funds within the state. And so we also drafted a letter signed by the executive director requesting to the legislature of North Carolina to release some of those funds to the Wilmington WMPO to see if we could use some of those funds for transportation projects. The other item from MPO is they recommend that electric scooters should be the subject of local government control through their own codes and ordinances, rather than there be a countywide or necessarily a statewide. There are some state laws and rules on the use of electric scooters and things, but they are recommending each individual community that has a local government, or is in Kira Beach, deal with those types of vehicles. I handed each of you a little thing earlier today talking about mopeds, scooters, electric bikes, hoverboards, and segways. And I would recommend that we turn those types of vehicles over to our pedestrian committee and let them do a little research and come back to the council on whether they think there should be additional ordinances or statutes within the Cure Beach rules and regulations dealing with how those motorized, some of them electric, vehicles are used within the town of Cure Beach. Do you want them on sidewalks? Do you want them in the bike lanes? Different things like that. There are some rules, like it's on your paper there. For instance, a moped has to have a license and be registered, although the operator does not necessarily have to be licensed. And we can make the Curie Beach rule more restrictive than the North Carolina rule, but you can't have it less restrictive. I don't know that we need a motion for that, but I'd like to kind of turn this piece of paper over to Commissioner Oliver and then Mark with the pedestrian committee to talk about those issues.
Yeah, and I've already talked to the chairman of the committee about it. She's aware of it because the bike pedestrian committee for the WMBO has already handed it down to them to look into. So she'll be dealing with it from their side and then down to us.
And then I have one other issue. A gentleman in
Hang on one second, John. So the pedestrian committee has agreed to take a look at this?
Oh, yeah, they're already aware. Mo's already aware of it.
Okay. All right.
She already had it on her radar screen before.
And the question is, where are they allowed to use these?
Yeah, we'll talk. We're going to talk about it and see what the, since we don't have a, quote, off-road path or greenway here,
right,
we'll have to address sidewalks more than anything else.
Motorized vehicles on sidewalks?
Yeah, we'll have to address that. I mean, I don't think it states, but those hoverboards and that type. We got to.
I would think about bike paths, but I'll leave that up to the people. Yeah. Okay.
Well, one thing you may want to do, we have one of our little local brochures is rules and regulations for bicycles and dog parks.
Right.
We may want to develop a brochure dealing with the rules and regulations for mopeds, scooters, segways, and those things.
That's a fair point. I would be very concerned about anything motorized on a sidewalk.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, okay. All right. Very good, John. What was your other item?
Is a gentleman in our neighborhood, a Curie Beach resident. He plays in a band and has formed a new band, and he would like to offer to the town a free concert. And I've asked Ms. Keeley through the Rec Relations Department, and she has agreed to work with Mr. Smith about a time, a date, possibly doing this as a charity event for one of our local charities here on the island. He would like to get some exposure for his band. He's offering to do it for free. If we did it as a charity, or if we could just do it as a free event, but I'd like permission or the agreement for the council, from the council, to let our rep department chair work with Mr. Smith to possibly set this up.
I don't particularly have a problem with that. I mean, right now we have 25, limit of 25 folks, right? So we're talking about sometime, probably way out.
He understands that, and his hope to me, he's not looking for it to be anytime soon.
Because I think even phase three is 50.
They haven't released that information yet.
But, okay, so, I mean, I would presume to leave that with Nikki. I have no problem with it unless anybody else does.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's fine.
Are you okay with that, John?
Yes,
we turn.
I'll,
we turn that to Nikki. For
Nikki knows all of his.
Yep,
for contact the, information. We for were, it, he was one of the band members at our dedication before the
okay.
Town Hall. So.
All right.
That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, John. Any other commissioners? Alan?
No, sir.
Joseph?
Not today.
Census?
Yeah.
Where are we at?
The census ends July 31st, so if you've not taken it, please do it. I've not checked the stats.
I don't know where to check it. I was trying to look for it, but I don't know where it is.
Census 2020.
There's a link on our website in header.
I went there, but I couldn't find what the percent completions were.
It should show us.
I believe you guys. I couldn't find it because I was upset.
Hang on.
But it is important, so I don't know how many people are still on the call, but if you've done your census, ask your neighbors if they've done theirs, because our percent completion is, everyone's looking for it now.
Whoever finds it gets to go home.
There you go. Fair enough. There I couldn't go. Find it, so I guess I have to stay. So you guys are still in.
Well, seeing as how nobody's found it, I guess any number works.
It was running less than 40%.
Yeah, we were,
I know. That's
last time I saw it was like 32%.
That's what. That's why I brought it up.
32%.
So we need to get.
We need to get above 70.
Yeah, we need to get like our tax rate 99. Too high.
That is. That's not good. People need to take care of
the 35.1%. So
look at Beth.
35%.
I would.
Thank you, Beth. You get to go home.
We direct the town clerk to send out one of our emergency emails to do your census.
They've been going out every other week, right?
Yeah.
No,
just send out
the real one.
Maybe just a distinct one with nothing but the census in it.
Oh, no, it goes out just the census.
Okay.
Well, add it to the email text, too.
Do it on the blast.
How often and when?
I think just tell people we're at 34%, and it's really important that
every Wednesday.
That you can say we've lost representation, and therefore we're losing grant money and all other kind of assistance and sales tax and all other kind of things, and taxes may have to go up.
Yeah, if we don't get 70%, there'll be a 6% tax increase next year.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
don't write that.
I can tell everyone's like a spicy guy.
I mean, honest to goodness, you really got to get on this.
I have nothing to do, Mr. Mayor. There you go.
Sorry, well, can we put our big town board up now that we're not using it for COVID at the entrances to town?
Hopefully everyone in the room down there.
Our police chief just made the international symbol for money.
Okay, that's enough fun for one night. Anything else?
Make a motion to close the meeting.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye. Can't punch you in here.